This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network. Visit jabberjawmedia.com for more shows like this one.
Today's show is sponsored by Texture. The Texture app lets you tap into the world's most popular magazines anytime, anywhere, using your smartphone or tablet. Get a free trial now when you go to texture.com/badchristian.
You are now entering the Bad Christian Podcast.
What's up, wonderful contributors to the podcast? And yes, I do mean you're all contributors. Either you contribute by you're a member of the club and you pay for these episodes, or you contribute by participating on our Facebook or by telling people, or just by listening, just by representing a download number. You give us somebody to, you know, project to, somebody to listen to us, and we do keep you in mind. Specifically, we keep all of you in mind, or in a general way, maybe not specifically, when we're recording this podcast. Anyway, today's announcement day. I've got a special announcement, and that is we're adding the newest band to the BC Music roster, and the band is called House of Heroes. You've probably heard them before. They've been around forever. They've got a ton of records. They're on Goatee Records. They've toured with Classic Crime and other bands. They're great. They have a new album called Colors that they've already crowdfunded and now have partnered with us. Now, the pre-order for this, and you can hear some music really, really soon. Right now, there's just a landing page, but coming next week, we'll have some more stuff, music premieres, etc. We'll make you more familiar with them. But for right now, find them on Facebook or whatever. Their website is thehouseofheroes.com. Very simple. So congratulations to us and to you if you're in the BC Club, if you are already a House of Heroes fan, which a lot of you will be. Good news for you. Good news for you if they're new to you. You're going to really like it. We're very excited. I love the record. Also, Emory Acoustic Shows. They're on sale, and they are selling out quick. They're going to be gone. That's Seattle and Portland, April 29th and 30th, in reverse order. Portland on Friday night, the 29th, and Seattle on April 30th. Get your tickets now at emoryacoustic.com.
3, 2, 1, hit it.
But I love this song. Dun. It's the back of the podcast. This is Rocky, right?
Mm-hmm. Eye of the Tiger.
Did they make that for Rocky III, or was it already an established song? Because it's definitely, it's paired with Rocky, but
I think it was a real song, and he just picked the perfect song in the world.
Yeah, that's the best song ever. Best song ever.
I actually exercised to that song about a couple weeks ago.
Really?
It was awesome.
Yeah. I think even a better song to exercise to would be The Karate Kid.
You're the best around. And that's not even more close to his tough.
That song's on the radio today.
It's Are you serious? Oh, I love that song. Daniel LaRusso is the wimpiest hero of cinema history.
And also one of the youngest looking.
Yeah, definitely. He was way older than what he was portrayed as. Yeah. Hey, did you when you were quizzing me about me, could you tell that I'm a little off?
Yeah. What's wrong with you today?
Huh? What's wrong with you today?
What's wrong with you today? I know what's wrong with me, but what's wrong with you?
No, I mean I'm definitely struggling.
Struggling.
Yeah.
Wait, hang on a second.
So anytime, that's what I call it.
So just you're just such a persistent condition with you, then if you're struggling, it's assumed everybody knows what you're talking about with you. It's just assumed.
My closest friends, they should know. It's hard to talk about. It's hard to come right out.
Everybody's the struggle. Like if anybody, he feels a kindred spirit, like with people that have been in slavery or oppressed or other. Yeah, I know your struggle.
Yeah.
I'm part of the struggle. They go, what is your struggle? I'm just kind of depressed.
Brain chemicals.
Well, it's hilarious that you bring this up. Of course, I mean, are you?
Not everybody can sniff it out as quick as
everybody
like,
can. They nah.
Yeah.
I would say the struggle definitely 100% immediately knows yours.
But I can't. Yeah, people that no, I would say people that people that work with me every day, and then obviously Priscilla and like my close friends. But I mean, I could go to all staff, for instance.
I'm sure people that you don't know you're struggling with depression.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's any.
I would say people that don't see me on a regular basis as well. I can cover it up.
The closer you are to him, the more obvious it is. But I think way more people pick up on it than Joey realizes would be the way to say that.
Yeah, I mean, I think even the people that you don't know that well are just going, oh, well, I mean, he's acting a little weird.
Yeah.
At least know it might not say it's depression, but if anybody's heard anything, they go, oh, that's probably what it is. Now, this is what's funny about this, and I did. I was going to talk about your depression because Matt, today was my first day as acting campus pastor of our church.
That already is so funny. Yeah, we got to slow down just a little bit. So if I'm right, does that also mean this is Joey's first day of one month paid vacation?
Right.
Yesterday started it.
No. Okay. Well, good. He looks relaxed. So sabbatical. So you get to do what he likes more than anything, which is lounge for 1 month straight. So what is that? That's probably better than maternity leave that pastors get. And you don't have to have a baby.
Oh, I know. It's amazing. It's a beautiful gift. Now, I actually did some research on sabbaticals. I was thinking about you. And it's funny because a lot of people do take sabbaticals. Most of them are unpaid, almost exclusively. Like, I think you can, even professors, I don't think they get paid, do they?
I don't know. But sabbatical is not just a ministry thing. There is sabbatical exists in other realms. I don't know how the pay works and stuff like that.
And it comes from Sabbath. Meaning to Sabbath.
Oh, yeah.
Sabbath day. That's where it comes from. And a lot of people do it. And I was just thinking about you. And at our staff meeting today, we prayed for you.
Oh, thank you.
And I kept the staff meeting short, but it still took 2 hours. I was kind of disappointed. I was hoping a 30-minute staff meeting, 2 hours at least.
And you were running it?
Yeah.
Why couldn't you cut it down? You've always wanted to cut down the meetings.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I told them this is going to be a short meeting, and it was still 2 hours. And so I've been working at Seacoast now almost 3 years, and every time we have a staff meeting, I hold it against Joey like a grudge that you make the staff meeting.
Sometimes I make it pretty kick-ass short, for
sure.
No,
you don't.
Yes, I do.
They're always long. And
they're just long to you because 10 minutes is long to you.
No, you're wrong. And so I am saying I need to ask forgiveness because you can't help it. Staff meetings will go longer.
Why couldn't you keep it short? What are the forces that you can't control?
It's just always something coming up, and then you have to talk about it. Like, even today, I thought we did pretty good, but you end up talking about stuff. And then knowing me, I'm just a natural conversation person. Sometimes it leads to, like, we're talking about Mother's Day, and literally 20 minutes later, we're talking about racism and how people get married at plantations.
Goodness gracious.
And that's kind of crazy. And so,
that is a crazy conversation.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying. So you can't just end there. You go, yeah. Oh, we'll talk about this
maybe
later.
Maybe meeting isn't the best thing to call it then.
Well, it's also a little bit of fellowship for our staff. It is fellowship for our staff. And so, yeah, it's kind of like that, honestly.
I mean, call
you
it
do
that. Everybody be
done.
More comfortable.
Yeah, you're right. We should have chips and salsa and a keg or something. But so today is my first day, and it's funny. I mean, I am doing some stuff. Now, I'm just actually just doing some of the work that Joey does. It's not like I'm actually a pastor, although I do most pastor stuff already. I'm not getting a tax break. I'm not getting a bonus. I'm not getting anything. It's just literally that Joey goes, I need a break, and so we're going to do it. I also did think this, and it's hilarious. I hadn't thought about this until Joey walked into my man cave to record this podcast, and I went, oh, he's going to be unbelievably depressed on this sabbatical. it's going to be the number one person that will least enjoy this sabbatical is Joey.
Why is
and
that?
I realized, well, I just started thinking, like, his whole makeup and identity is pastor. And so your identity is in Christ, but just hear me out. I'm just saying, like, so now that he doesn't have that, like, you can't go to it. Like, Joey is big on returning emails and being in the know about the congregation.
Feeling productive and stuff. Yeah.
Shepherding the flock and stuff like this. And so for 1 month, he doesn't have that. So, like, it's going to be really crazy. Like, the same thing is if I wasn't in a band for 1 month, or, like, if it was like, okay, nothing there, it would be weird to not be able to tell people I'm in a band. Or where I guess that's a little bit of not the best analogy. But I'm just saying, like, Joey, of course, I think is going to probably be mostly depressed on this whole sabbatical.
You know, that supports my theory that what I think you're saying there is that he, since he always is doing the emails and the work and all that stuff, that a lot of that is operating out of compulsion, right? So somebody with that self-identifies as having OCD operates often out of compulsion to do things, respond to this email, make sure this person's happy, check on these people. You know, that is what Joey's compelled to do to an obsessive degree. Now, I believe, and I've said this before, I actually believe his main mental problem is OCD that precipitates depression. I think depression is a side product of the OCD. But because you're thinking about all the stuff and then you wind up, you can't control it and it leaves you, or it's never enough with obsessive thought patterns and stuff. So the problems never get solved. So I think you're probably right, because he won't be able to execute all of his compulsions, but nonetheless be,
you guys are going to be proven wrong.
I hope so for you.
No, seriously, like the last 2 days, that's why I think today for sure is very unrelated. There's sometimes, you guys don't need to believe me, that's fine, but there are some,
he did travel to Myrtle Beach yesterday and back.
Oh, he can't even go 2 hours.
There is some travel.
I mean, yesterday,
kind of like eczema. Yeah.
So Sunday after Easter services, oh my gosh, so much fun. I was like, wow, this is awesome. I'm like off for a month. Monday, same thing, hanging out with my kids, Myrtle Beach and everything. Today, it's not related to anything. I'm telling you, there are sometimes.
I mean, now it's finally set in. Like that. I mean, you were kind of, Easter is the craziest day of all. It was one of the craziest Easters ever with technical difficulties and things going on. And so, of course, your mind was all, you were just jacked up to, but okay, now I get the Sunday afternoon and chill. And then I'm hanging out with my family. This is fun. Now it's set in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're going to have.
Wrong. I definitely think that you are, for sure.
You hope that I'm wrong, but you definitely think that I am.
Huh?
You said, I hope you're wrong.
I hope that you're wrong, and I definitely think that you are.
Wrong.
Right.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Sorry, I misunderstood. All I'm saying is I think that you don't understand how your own brain works, and other people sometimes see it from the outside. And
I think you don't have easily understandable.
We're not talking about me.
I'm just saying, you're saying that I don't understand myself. I would say I understand myself a lot more than you think.
You were shocked when literally months ago I said travel is a trigger for your depression. You were shocked. And you still don't really totally believe it. And I'm like, no, it is. Every time you travel, something a little bit crazy happens with your depression. It just does. Even going to Myrtle Beach today, it could very well just be that.
What are you talking about, shocked? Last time we talked about that, I actually said,
months later, when I first said it, when we were in like California traveling, I was like, hey, when you travel, you get, no, it's not that. It's just, you know.
That was like 3 years ago.
It wasn't. It was maybe a year ago.
California?
Two years ago.
This is boring conversation right now, but well, California
I'm sorry,
was
so
a,
angry.
Well, California was a sorry, lot so longer mad. Than that.
Okay. Still, that's what I'm saying. That was, if it was 3 years ago, just now you're coming around to it. All I'm saying is, I think, why wouldn't you be a little bit like, why would you be so defensive that we said, hey, this is going to be a tough thing for you? You probably are going to experience depression.
Yeah, maybe that's a good point.
Days from now, going, I can't believe I'm depressed. It has nothing to do with anything. It just happens. There are real triggers.
Yeah, Joey, what is the resistance there? Why do you feel the need to not be able to be analyzed successfully or warned or understood? I think Toby's being a bit obnoxious in a way. But you do seem to resist us being able to identify or something. Defensiveness there.
What's crazy is you guys are so sensitive to when I do resist. Y'all don't realize all the times that I say, no, I think y'all are onto something. Man, that tell me more, blah, 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 blah. All I'm saying is that you guys understand a lot, but y'all talk like y'all understand it perfectly, and that's just bullshit.
Oh, and I definitely don't understand
it perfectly. I'm saying, but that's how y'all carry yourselves. So, like, in this conversation, it's like you are talking to me like I don't know anything, and I'm like, no, I actually know a lot more than you think. I am aware a lot more than you think, and I'm saying in this case today, it's not related to anything. There are times when I get depressed, and it's not related to anything.
And then I would say that lots of times there are. It is.
Once again, go ahead. Like, tell me about myself.
I'm just saying, you're acting like I'm listening. Most foolish, idiot, dummy in the whole world by saying you did travel yesterday and today.
I didn't say you're dumb.
And knowing my friend who doesn't now have the identity of pastor and doesn't have
that actually does piss me off that you think
it's
that I'm
going to
get depressed.
Affect you.
That I, dude, here's where you're so wrong. You don't know how freeing it was to shut my emails off of my phone and my computer, and I don't care about getting back on. Now you're going to say, oh yeah, blah blah blah. You just got through saying that I'm going to be depressed because I can't engage in compulsory emailing people and checking on people, and I just told you. That's actually the one of the most freeing things.
Yeah, in the beginning, because you go, okay, I'm shutting it off, and now it's down. I'm saying 10 days from now, you're going to be probably feeling a lot different.
You're saying I'm depressed right now because of my sabbatical.
I think you're depressed from the travel. I think you're depressed from the travel.
He says today's travel, in the coming month, the sabbatical will trigger.
Yeah, in the coming month, the sabbatical is going to, you're going to get a little depressed, and you're going to be thinking, what does this mean? What am I like? What does this break mean? What does it mean? What am I doing? I mean, you're going to ask yourself all those questions. And of course, I want to say something else too. You're acting like what we're saying is that is causing your depression, when this whole time you've been telling us you have actual chemical imbalances in your brain that cause your depression, and you're acting like what we're saying is you are going to get depressed. Like it's something that you can get depressed about by not emailing. It's something you can get depressed. I'm saying that stuff affects you, and whatever chemical imbalance you have, those things, because of your OCD and because of then that leads to depression, I'm saying that that stuff's going to happen. But you're acting like when we bring it up that we're saying you're weak or you're whatever. I'm just saying.
No, this doesn't have anything to do with weakness.
It is going to happen. So why would you be so pushed so hard against it when the truth is, why wouldn't you go, yeah, you know what? Probably sometime this month, this not being on sabbatical might really affect me. Like, why wouldn't you be somewhat like, yeah, expecting it so that you could be prepared?
I think it's
not shocked. Or just like, okay, this just happening.
I think it's how you guys talk about it, or how
you
talk.
Yeah, it's got to be that. So, but look at it this way, Toby.
Here's the thing, though, is as far as like Matt, you have nailed it when you say
every time.
as far as like pastors having some common ground with OCD, people pleasing, depression, all that stuff, like totally, I get that, but. When y'all lump me into this whole identity as a pastor thing, like that makes zero sense. And I'll always give you, maybe y'all are 100% right, but I'm telling you, most of the time I forget I'm a pastor in the sense of seeing someone in a grocery store and they're like, and all of a sudden they start acting weird and stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm pastor of a church that maybe 500 people come in and out of on a given month. But that's not how my mind is actively engaged all the time. And so when you say stuff like that, I'm just like, okay, you're wrong. But then when I say that, you say that I take offense. You take offense when I say you're wrong. Like it's an attack on you. I'm not attacking you.
I'm not offended at all. I just don't understand why.
You're not offended. Okay, cool.
I'm not offended. I really am not.
Okay.
I'm just, this is my argumentative style for sure. This is how I argue with Matt. It's how I argue with you. But I mean, more times than not, you push back when I have any suggestion or thought about your depression.
The interesting thing about it is
there is some history there where it feels that way to me.
Well, if we want to go history,
like,
I mean, obviously.
Today, you say, you come at me and you say all this stuff. You know what I said? What did I say in the beginning? I said, we pray for you today. I said, I was thinking about you while you were on your sabbatical. I've told you a million times you need the sabbatical. And today I said, I think that the sabbatical it was a funny thing. I thought we were going to be laughing about it. And you didn't laugh about it. But just talking about somebody going on a sabbatical, most likely your depression is going to flare up or whatever, however you want to consider, whatever is the right word to use there, is going to happen because I do think you're unaware of your identity being wrapped up in pastoral stuff because most of your stuff is a calling.
Yeah, but
most
I'm not allowed to argue that.
What you're going
to
do.
That's the problem. When people talk to you, the problem is I'm not allowed to argue that case.
Are.
Well, yeah, but you get offended.
No, I'm not offended.
You get upset, Toby.
I would love to you argue back and you say, oh, okay, well, let's see, this, and this. But all you said was, you're wrong.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did. You said, hey, I hope you're wrong, and I know you are.
Oh, so you think that's all that? You think that's the only thing that came out of my mouth?
I'm actually
went into explanations.
I'm actually giving you information to back up and support my argument. And all I'm saying is, all you say is you're wrong.
No, that's not all I said. I would bore our listeners to death with it.
You've already done that. You have already done that. Not the two of you, that is. Anyway, I would suggest that what Joey's resistant to if I had to identify it. What?
How long has it been since this is like we have to mark off, you know, how when like so many days since an incident?
Yeah, it's like a safety report.
So now here
well,
we
let
are.
Me get us out hey, of it.
I'm trapped in the room with this guy.
Well, you know, you two deserve each other. Anyway, the thing that I think that Toby's identifies there or is saying.
Joey just left.
Yeah.
Joey just left.
Is that it's Joey becomes defensive from my point of view when you suggest that there's some things that trigger it and it makes it harder because from Joey's point of view, it is nicer or better to feel like it's just simply a chemical state that happens to him.
See,
and it's harder whenever somebody suggests there's specific things.
You're doing the same thing.
I'm just noticing that's when you become defensive about it.
I cannot tell y'all how often I have told y'all triggers. I've come on here and I've said specifically triggers. All I'm saying is you guys never acknowledge the fact. And then you say, hey, well, why don't you go to a professional? Then when I do go to a professional and he says, yes, you actually have situations where it is not predicated by anything. And you're struggling chemically. That's why you do need to have some mental things that you work through when there are triggers. But there's times when, you know, when that's not the case. I mean, you're doing the same thing right now.
Right. But I'm not offended or antagonistic. But Toby, if anything, would express himself better to say he's frustrated because he is thinking about how to warn or help you or something like that. And you seem resistant to it. So he's frustrated. Now, he may be totally wrong. In fact, Toby has a good chance of trying to prove he's right, however, because much like Toby's predictions of people's divorce, it's a pretty good bet to suggest within the next 1 month that Toby will experience a little bit of depression here or there, thus vindicating what Toby is suggesting. So whether he's right or not, certainly the odds are in favor of him being able to claim that he's right. But what the causes of it certainly won't be something that we would really be able to nail down. Anyway, I apologize. I'm not offended. I'm trying to. The last thing I want to do is more minutes of arguing with you two or me and you. So I withdraw. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Not okay.
Joey's upset. I promise you, I thought this would be fun. I do think that you are now offended. I'm sorry. I definitely am aggressive when I in my argument style. I am not hurt by you at all. I'm not. I'm ready to keep going and joking around and all this stuff. I'm just saying, I think for sure, if we say something in a way that is not fun or keeping the conversation going or we're doing a podcast here or anything like that, that might bother me a little bit just because of our listeners. I'm saying I don't even mind the argument. I think the argument's good. I want to hear what you have to say. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's true. But, I mean, it's simply, like I've told you, travel yesterday. I mean, you traveled and you said, you started this, can you tell I'm depressed? I was like, yeah, we were laughing because I mean, I'm making a joke that you don't have a game face and stuff like that. Those are all jokes for the podcast and stuff like that. And yes, there's going to be many days you don't have depression on your sabbatical and many days you probably will. So, I mean, that's just the way it's going to go either way, whether that's chemical, whether that's brought on by your OCD, whether that's brought on by just the situation of being on some sabbatical, that is going to happen. So that's all I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to ruin the rest of the podcast, but I do think I thought it was a joke. To me, it's very funny that the person who needs a sabbatical and is going to get it might be the person that doesn't enjoy it as much as, you know, somebody going sailing around the world to experience the world or anything. You're going to be doing work and all that stuff. So, which, speaking of, let's talk about the things you're going to be doing on your sabbatical. Can we do that to move on?
I think it's pretty boring.
Okay.
It's not boring. You're working on a book that we're going to release. See, I hope it's not boring. No.
Apparently, it's just going to be really boring. He's just going to lay around and do nothing.
No, but seriously, you're going to be working on your book and stuff, right? Like, what things will you be doing on sabbatical?
Yeah, reading and writing, pretty much.
All right. So we don't want to talk about the book or sabbatical. Toby, let's talk about you being the worship leader in the let's shift topics. How will it affect you, Toby? What are you going to be doing at church?
You guys are totally right. I'm going to be very depressed most of the time. No, one thing that what's funny, this is the other joke that I was going to say about Joey is Joey has been in the church system for 11 years. Is that right? Like, you've been working at Seacoast for about 11 years, right? Not campus pastor, but 11 years, right?
Don't do anything that requires his participation in the next few minutes. Just talk to me for a little bit. It'll be okay. Give him seriously, give him a break. If he is upset, which anybody when they get upset doesn't want to be picked at. So just leave him alone for the next 5 minutes and talk to me.
Well, okay. This is what I was thinking today is this I finally get to see the real Joey. Like, for 11 mm-hmm. years, he's been in the church system and all stuff. So today, like, when I was talking to him, and he made, you know, he always makes like a mean joke at my expense. He mm-hmm. always does. He'll say whatever in front of the staff or whatever. Not mean in a sense of just like brother jokes.
Right.
Not mean, like, actually hurt my feelings, just brother jokes. But today, when he came in, he said, I guess, I know he's going through depression too, but I was like, oh, this is the real Joey. And it's not, it's like, it might be just, what if Joey's like, just actually really is mean? Like, that's just like the pastor guy that, you know, he's a pastor. Yeah. So he's just kidding with you like a brother or whatever. But now, like, what is the, maybe we, in this month, we might get to see a Joey that we've never seen before.
That's right. Like, an untied, he is a pastor, untethered.
Not a teacher.
Yeah.
That's he's right. not in front of anybody for 1 month. It's just a dude named Joey that doesn't have any obligations or anything. He's going to write a book about himself. He's going to be, I mean, most of the month is going to be kind of about him. Like, it's a, mm-hmm. refresh time. It's about, you know, he's going off by himself for a while. He's going to spend some time with family. He's going to do some, write his a book about yeah. himself. Like, I mean, it's a lot of introspection.
That,
so
that
I'm just
reminds
wondering, like,
me,
what kind of joy we're going to get.
Yeah, that's interesting. It reminds me of when Donald Miller was on here, and he talked about how he went to that retreat and he couldn't tell anybody what he does for a living. Remember that?
Right. Yeah.
And like
yes.
how serious or crazy that would be. And I think about that all the time now when I'm interacting with people, because whenever that question comes, I either give an answer that makes me sound like a doofus, or I give an answer that yeah. makes me sound really cool. And it largely depends on the person and what follow-up question they ask. Like, I don't love telling people what I do or thinking about it in that way when it's put me on the spot time, because I feel like I'm either bragging or sounding like a loser who just like plays guitar, has a demo, or I'm a huge rock star entertainer guy. It comes across one of the two ways, and I don't right. really like that. However, I really do carry that around all the time, like my identity and what I do when I'm in, you know, like I have a lot of thoughts about myself as, oh, I'm that's why I'm different, or that's why I'm quirky, or that's why if people ask me about what I do naturally, or if it comes out somehow, then I do feel pretty cool. And it does make me, it does alter the way I look at myself, what I do for a living and stuff like that. And it would be really weird to not do it. For me, it would be like, I become really aware of my self identity. And whether it's good or bad, it probably is more positive than anything, obviously, in my life. But it would be certainly weird if I couldn't be Matt from Bad Christian or Matt from Emory. I don't know if it would be how I'd feel about that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, for me too, like, parts of me sometimes long just for a regular job. Like, I would love just to work in lawn maintenance or mm-hmm. have a 9-to-5 at a startup company or something. And it just be Toby, the guy, not anybody that has a voice that people would listen to, whether it's singing or talking or whatever. And all the jobs that I have are made up. Like, it's just crazy. Like, it's just my whole life's made up. Like, it's just crazy. Like, I said, okay, I'll make up songs and then sing them.
Yeah.
And so, and then people listen to it. And then I go, okay, I will, I'll work at a church and do songs. And
another
it's just,
made
you know,
up job.
I mean, you could take a month off of it and then keep trying to
matter.
but and then I go, oh, you know what? I like talking with my friends, so I'm just going to talk and record it. It's another
right.
made up.
Completely
job.
Made up.
And I mean, like,
all,
it's
but,
really
and all, you know what all three of those have in common massively is they just sound, if the person doesn't take you seriously or thinks you're a goofball in the first place, when you tell them what you do, that just sounds ridiculous. Like, well, I have a band, you know, like I play songs and we
right.
write and we, you know, we try to record them and sometimes we get gigs and, you know, that, right. that just sounds like nothing. Or, and there, cause there's so many people that do that at the lowest level and take it so seriously that, you know, kind of are jokes and they act real serious about it.
Yeah.
And the same thing with ministry. Everybody has this, oh, well, actually my ministry, this, but it could be just the most nothing thing that the person's being overly serious about. And then obviously podcasts, that's the most joke job of all time. It has to be.
Yeah.
Right.
Half the population didn't even know what it is.
Yeah. And anybody that you do know, and if you do know what a podcast is and you run into somebody somewhere and you find out that person has a podcast, that is the least thing that you could have. It could mean, and in most cases means, you think it's fun when you talk to your friends about something and 8 people listen to it, or some small brand that makes
right.
umbrellas has the podcast about, you know, something they're doing. It's just the silliest, most nothing
right.
thing possible. And I'm not even saying this podcast is big, but it's at least in the higher percentage of successful podcasts. But that's hard to even tell people. What am I supposed to say? Like, I have a podcast, but actually it's a big deal.
Right.
What am I supposed to say that? I mean, that's super uncomfortable to do. So you're right. All the stuff we do is jokes that we turn into eke out a living.
once you start talking about income, though, then people are like when you actually say that you make some of your living from a podcast, then they're like, oh, I mean, that changes.
Yeah, that's true.
Years completely.
That's true. But I don't like to even, I don't know.
Yeah, totally.
I don't like it.
Totally. All right. So let me say something real quick. I am sorry that my depression.
You don't have to apologize.
I don't even know what I'm about to apologize for. I'm sorry that my depression affects this podcast sometimes, but you have to realize it
in good ways too.
Let me just say this though, is almost all the times when we really delve into the topic of depression, what is the common denominator? I'm depressed. And so I don't handle these conversations well.
That's true.
And that is not, that's not skirting responsibility. That's not saying, oh, that I can just, you know, be whatever kind of asshole, but I don't hear what you're saying in a healthy way. I don't hear it as a conversation. So again, I'm not washing my hands of responsibility when things get heated. I'm just saying,
Everybody's going to think Toby was the jerk. You don't have to worry about that.
if anything, I'm saying otherwise, that on any given day, if I'm not starting with depression, that conversation is fine.
Sure.
I would be able to disagree with you and not be offended, but that's the whole premise of what I'm struggling is my mind.
Well, it's just hilarious to me because I can't tell you how many times, I mean, you know how many times, mostly not behind your back, but many, many times we've done stuff, I had to do the podcast, and then the topic comes up and then it doesn't go well almost every time. And then Toby says, okay, that's it. He's told me 10 times, we're not talking about that anymore on the podcast. We're not doing that again. And then jump straight back into it and falls apart.
It
yet again.
Me back in.
Well, it's too real to not address when you're looking at the person that you're friends with and close to, and you see it and it's affecting you and certainly other people, I can only assume. And it's right there. And what else are you supposed to do if you get it, you're totally correct in that it doesn't do any good to talk to the person whose mental state is messed up about their mental state. It's just not ever going to be that productive, especially when you come across the way Toby does. I was talking to Bunda about it because he gets a little bit swingy of mood, in case you haven't noticed. He gets a bit swingy.
I noticed every once in a while.
And so he was super up yesterday. I was like, you know, because, I mean, this was coming off of a downswing where he was in not as healthy a place a couple of weeks ago. And so I told him, you got to figure here's what you got to do. I understand when you're down, it's only going to be negative and you're only going to see the negative side of stuff. And that's when we get into trouble. That's true. I agree. There's nothing you can do better to disengage in some ways at that point than try to make a bunch of headway. However, when you're feeling happy and good, like you are today, now is when you should actually try to bring up and address some of these underlying things that come out when you're upset. Like I know clearly there's some stuff that comes out when you're upset. Today would be a great day to talk about it. Not when you start feeling bad and down on yourself again. How about today? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you're not feeling depressed, when you're feeling not that manic up shit either, but like when you're feeling really normal would be a really good time to try to, even though it's not top of mind and it seems like everything's okay, that would be the better days. And that's for everybody. Same with your marriage. Like if you're having a fight, you're doing bad. Well, that's not necessarily the time to critique the other person's character. I know that firsthand because I've done it a million times. But when me and Bridget are on our anniversary date and she's smiling, that's the day that I should actually maybe try to get in there and discuss some of the things in her character that affect me negatively, not right when she does it because she's already in a bad mood and we're already in a fight, right?
I agree with you, but I agree with the premise and even would say that you're right. But here's the challenge that comes along with that is right now I understand my depression way more than I would if I wasn't struggling with it. Because when the chemicals are different, you're actually living in that realm of incorrect thinking. So like at this point, I can label it, this is depression. A lot of these thoughts that I'm having, a lot of these feelings that I'm having, even though they're real and I'm struggling with them, I at least know that I won't feel this way tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, I won't be able to assess and evaluate. In fact, that's why so many people get off medication because they're like, oh, I'm fine. I'm totally fine.
That's right.
They can't even imagine being depressed.
That's right.
Because they're just not there. I mean, the most extreme example I can give you is I'll never forget like driving down Folly Road, going 55 miles per hour, wishing a car would hit me and I would die.
Like,
I mean,
you know,
crazy.
Intellectually like, that happened. And so
like,
even when you're happy, you have to realize
wife?
That. Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
I wasn't even depressed that day.
that was just because of Green Bay.
Joey, I know that my approach is aggressive. I don't mean to come off aggressive. Now, one thing I will say is I just got a new job as a campus pastor. There's a lot of pressure.
A lot of stress. I can't handle it.
I got a lot of stress.
Toby's going to start getting depressed.
Getting really shitty at work. I don't know. I mean, you guys are like my getaway from that. It's a mess there. It's hard. I mean, I'm a campus pastor, and it is hard.
What is this, your second day?
First day, Matt.
Okay. Well, look.
I'm going to make it.
No, I know. You'll be on Zoloft by the end of the week.
Oh, God. Yeah. Joey went to the restroom. I grabbed three or four of his pills without him seeing it. I gotta do something. I'm not going to be able to take this. But I will say that I am sorry. The way I came across, my goal is to have a conversation and to be entertaining on the podcast. So if I was pushing you that way, part of it is just for the entertainment stuff. And I would say, unlike what Matt said, I don't think of depression as Joey. So I literally, and this is probably wrong, I think of it as something not Joey that attacks you, or like a kidney stone or something. You know, like when you have a kidney stone, I don't think of the kidney stone. When you're acting that way with a kidney stone, I don't think that's you. I don't think that's Joey. That's Joey reacting to the pain of a kidney stone. So I'm thinking, when I'm talking about depression, I'm not talking about Joey.
Right. But depressed Joey can only take that personally in a way, because depressed Joey is that guy.
I just realized that Joey, in your brain, you probably think it's one and the same, that Joey and depression are one and the same. I think of it literally as like a kidney stone that's just affecting you. And so I'm talking about that. And so then I am surprised. I don't really get offended. Like, Matt is the king of non-offense, I think. So
not the way getting offended or not offending people.
You offend people. Yeah, not getting offended.
Okay, right.
People can almost say anything they want to you, and you don't even, it doesn't register. And so being around him so much, I can talk freely however I want.
That's right.
And I know it doesn't matter. And so that's not a good teacher, because even to my own wife, she goes, why are you talking to me this way? And I go, it's not a big deal. But Matt and I talk so much, and have for years and years, and I've had other friends like Matt, to where I can say something and it's gone. Like, I literally am not offended at all. Now, I do believe probably in certain ways you take things more personally, and those affect you more deeply. So I now, like, even in the time, my voice might be raised, or I might be talking loud, or whatever it might be. That doesn't mean I'm at all upset. I thought we were talking about this thing, and so instead we're talking about Joey.
Yeah. Well, let's try to quantify and move on here. We need to get to a break, but let's try to quantify it real quick. Let's just for the sake of posterity. Joey's got 30 days here. Let's just turn it into numbers. Over, under, how many days does Joey experience symptoms of depression in the next 30? Toby and Joey, answer that.
I would say it would be pretty similar to the last month.
Right. So Joey's going to say like a normal month, which is how many?
Nowadays, mm-hmm. I'd say 8 out of 30.
And Toby, what were you thinking when you were making your thoughts and projections? What number would you put on that?
29. Let me get a real answer. Joey is traveling alone to Tennessee, so I think that's for sure several days there. He is traveling to the art conference, and you doing any traveling with your family outside of that? Like, how many?
With Priscilla.
Huh?
With Priscilla.
With Priscilla, you're going
to
do
Friday something. I'm traveling with the family to Rosa's gymnastics meet.
Yeah. So I would say up to 20 days.
Yeah, that's a lot. And then the only other rank you could do of that is like a severity level. So maybe it's 10 days and they're extra bad, or 20 days light. But
the only thing I would like to ask is, when you get depressed now because of your medicine and stuff, does it only last for a few days? Like, used to, you could go a week and be depressed. Like, is it shorter times now?
Yeah, definitely. I'd say the medicine that I'm on right now is more effective. All right, so to prove my point as far as my sensitivity level being obviously higher when I'm struggling with depression, I don't know if you remember this or not, Toby, but even Dave Powell was like looking, and I think you asked Dave, you said, did that offend you? And he said, no, but I'm actually pretty offended for Joey. You remember we were sitting in that green room in Australia, and I forget, you had just watched a pastor on YouTube, and so you were really pissed off. But basically, you went after me verbally and said the most horrible, disparaging,
okay, hang on a second. Sorry, let me interrupt here. Let's take a break and just come back.
Before you disparage me and talk about my disparaging remarks, let's take this break, because this is going to get good. Let's leave a cliffhanger. And
by good, I hope you mean less argumentative and slightly more productive. And like,
it might get worse.
Maybe a little funnier would work,
yeah,
too. Okay. All right, we'll be right back.
Let's take a break.
All right, guys, you know that we're in some sort of a binge culture the way we do everything. Like, for instance, Joey and pizza. So thanks to pizza, Joey binges all the time. Thanks to Netflix, me and my wife watch unlimited episodes of tons of shows. We're all binge watching. But here's the good news. With Texture, you can start binge reading, which is a lot more healthy than the other two. Trust me. It's going to be a thing, for real. So when it comes to magazines, you know what you like. And with Texture, you can get all the magazines you want in one super convenient place. Duh, on your smartphone, on your tablet, on your computer. And here's what I like about it. This is real magazines. This is the magazines that you're used to, the magazines that you probably pay for subscriptions for, or at least read whenever you go somewhere like the dentist and you wish you could read those things, but you don't want to, you know, get them sent to your house, waste all that paper and stuff like that. And the journalism and the writing in magazines is so much better than the BuzzFeed articles you've been reading. So get off of Facebook, get Texture, and let's binge on something great like reading quality stuff.
Yeah, Matt, you're right. I love Texture. It's really awesome for Jess and I because she can read, you know, she reads Bon Appetit. She likes some of the women, I call them women magazines, like In Style and stuff like that, but or Vogue. But I love Sports Illustrated. I even actually like Time or Rolling Stone. There's just so many magazines to choose from. It's awesome. It's just
Got all the big ones.
Really,
for sure.
Great. And here's the best part. Texture is offering our listeners a free trial right now when you go to texture.com/badchristian. You'll be able to gain immediate entry to all of the top magazines, including back issues, which is really cool. You can get all the back issues as well, and bonus video content. Start binge reading for free right now when you go to texture.com/badchristian. One more time, texture.com/badchristian.
Joey, you excited about audio feed?
Man, I tell you what, I am definitely, and there seems to be a lot of people that are excited about being there as well. And I don't know, there's like when we did the live podcast in Australia, there was something about just seeing everybody kind of get together to talk and, you know, for us to be able to actually see in person people that we're podcasting with. But I tell you what too, is when I'm not depressed and you guys are playing live Emory shows, I love it.
Well, there's little chance that you won't be depressed, but I want everybody to come to audio feed because most likely you'll get to see what we have to deal with Joey in a depressed pastor. Cause it always happens when he travels, but the best part about, it's going to be a big show. So not only that, Emory's playing, Bad Christian's going to be there, but there's the whole thing.
What is this thing?
It's called Christian Day, which is the best part about it. So it's the, June 30th through July the 3rd, and there's Bad Christian Day is on July the 2nd. But the festival goes those whole days. It's in Urbana, Illinois, about 2.5 hours from where Cornerstone Festival was. So a bunch of really great stuff that's going to be there.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. They're going to have 4 stages, 4 days of music with over 100 bands. People like Josh Garrels, Propaganda, Flatfoot 56. It's going to be awesome. And there's going to be camping, movies, speakers. Even our good friend Preston Sprinkle is going to be there.
Yeah.
And like you guys are saying, there's going to be a Bad Christian Day. We're going to be around. You're going to get the experience. Joey just destroyed in person. It's going to be amazing and fun and cool. So come to this place and get Joey kind of happy.
Yeah.
Maybe you could be the one that figures out what the heck's going on in his skull.
You can go to badchristianday.com right now and see all this stuff that we're talking about. But Audio Fest is having us on July the 2nd.
Audio Feed Festival. Yeah, so make sure you go through there and order your ticket. Buy your ticket now through our link. We actually get a piece of that and actually supports the podcast and Bad Christian Day. If you go to badchristianday.com and buy your tickets and tell everybody you know to buy your tickets through there, that actually will help us and prove that it's a good idea to do it to a Bad Christian Day there. And we're going to make sure that we meet everybody out there in podcast land. It's going to be a great time.
All right, we're back. Joey, the last thing you said was we're in Australia. I said the most disparaging remark that you've ever heard.
The word, yeah.
And that I went after you tooth and nail to try and destroy you and our friendship.
The worst part about this is you won't even remember.
I remember it well.
But I actually, this was actually a...
Two hours before or after a show with the amount of, you know, that's a mental state for Toby. He can't be held to blame for anything. He's drunk. He's high. He's all wrapped up on adrenaline. It's his flesh. There's nothing. He can't be held responsible for anything before or after a show.
This was actually a landmark in me understanding Toby, and my mind was blown. I was like, Toby could really get himself in trouble. And I thought to myself, it's a really good thing that I'm one of his best friends and at least understand a little bit. But
yeah, I'm a terrible person.
No.
Just give us the story from your POV, Joey.
So basically I don't remember exactly what you said, but you talked about my depression. You said how Joey makes excuses out of his stupid depression and you should be bigger than it. And this is just, I mean, just went on and on and on.
How did that come out of watching that pastor video though? He was sitting there. What were you watching? Mark Driscoll videos or something is what
I wish I could remember the basis of all this, but Toby,
he was watching Mark Driscoll videos.
You were trying to prove a point that Christians should be so open and honest. They shouldn't even care about offending. Nobody should be. So you're basically making a point on transparency. And you even said after the fact that you purposely attacked me relentlessly for that purpose.
Oh, I'm starting to remember this.
Yeah. So you actually, are you being serious?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because you would be able to bring way more insight into it. But for sure, when you spoke on it in retrospect, you did acknowledge that, I mean, you went all out. You said the reason why I had zero filter and really tried to, you may have even said tried to destroy Joe. I mean, it was like, and the point I want to make is at that time, and I can even remember in that green room, I was not depressed. So I was just like,
just Toby.
Good Lord, Toby, it's off his rocker.
Was he trying to push your buttons for?
Well, Toby would probably be able to give more insight on that if he remembers it.
I can't actually remember. We were talking about, I think you're right. I think we were watching some Mark Driscoll thing. All I can remember is the thing that triggered my memory is when you were talking about I was trying to intentionally act a certain way, maybe to get a reaction out of you, I think. It was something more like that. Now, also, I mean, I much like your depression, I have aggression. But
nobody wants to hear about that shit.
Well, I know, or forgive it or be kind about that. I swear, I do think, I've said this before, I swear I would trade with you. I would way rather not be the brain that I have, and I'd rather have some of the brain.
I'll give you that.
It's brain, look, Toby happens to have 7 grams of free-floating testosterone rattling around in his brain.
Well, here's the reality.
What is he supposed to do about his brain chemicals?
Here's the reality. If Toby's reaction to this stuff is not chemical, and I believe that it is, people, like you said, people have zero tolerance for it.
I know, it sucks.
There's no tolerance.
Now, here's the thing that's interesting.
I feel that I do. You may not think that I do, but I feel that I do.
I do think you do. That's why we're friends. That's what I'm saying. When I talk to you, I don't ever think I'm intentionally hurting Joey. I might be trying to win an argument, but I would do that with anybody on earth. And I don't care. It's just the argument thing is fun. That's a game that I play with Matt or whoever. But here's something really interesting.
That's a game. That's like the equivalent of S&M and bondage for sex. Like, yeah, some people are into sex that like hurts real bad. And Toby likes games where everybody gets angry and yells at each other.
I like games where you argue. Like, I don't like it when people get mad. Like, when Joey's feelings get hurt or he feels more affected by a conversation. I don't like that. That's what I'm saying. I enjoy arguing with Matt because it'll usually go to, sometimes I get frustrated and mad with Matt, but it just goes away. Like, that is not something in mine or Matt's DNA. We can have a knockdown drag out and pretty much within a few hours, it's going to be okay. And it doesn't even feel that good to say we're sorry because it didn't mean anything in the first place. But here's one thing that's funny. Check this out. You don't even actually remember what I did, but you fully remember how you felt.
Yeah.
So what that's what I'm saying. When you are sensitive to those things, like, you don't even remember exactly what I said. Like, the words you used are, I tried to destroy you. I went after you ruthlessly.
You did.
All these things. No, but what I'm saying is, you have no like actual wordage that I used.
I actually gave you some. You didn't hear me then.
What is it?
You basically were trying to make a point as far as transparency and how we should not care.
That seemed exactly right.
It was. It had to do.
Why would I go after you about you being transparent? I've said a million times you're one of the most transparent people I know.
Yeah, because you were basically making a point about the church and how.
Was it about you being a pastor and transparent? Like, you should say more in front of the people?
No, I think you acknowledge that I do that. But it definitely had to do with community and how. It had to do with Andy Nichols and his resistance towards you coming down on him about his faith. And you were basically making...
Oh, yeah. You had just destroyed Andy for like 2 hours before that.
Yes. Oh, is that when we were doing the podcast and Andy was on and he got really mad?
No, it was in the green room up there in Sydney. And
Andy, you
wouldn't let Andy say that he was agnostic. You wouldn't... he was saying, I'm agnostic. And you said, no, you're not. For like an hour.
That's right. That's right. And then I kind of got Andy's back by saying, that's Toby, what it was. You're just not hearing him out. You're not listening. Right. And so basically you're like, well,
now I'm going to destroy Joey too. Cause you were full on Andy. That's what it was. You were on Andy, like unbelievable. So escalated to maximum. He got Andy's back. And then you set your sights out. Just enough with Andy destroyed this bald freak right here.
But it wasn't just for the sake of destruction.
He was on the warpath. No,
there was
nothing
a point
you could
behind
do.
It. Okay, you were trying to prove
how
a point.
I remember this then. Let me just put it in. Let me clearly tell you the whole story from my side. Joey got to tell this side. I'm sitting in a green room in Sydney, and we're there to go to one of the biggest Christian festival in Australia. Right. And so my friend looks at me and denounces Jesus Christ in front of me. What am I supposed to do? I'm hurt. I go, I can't lose this guy to Satan. Then my pastor friend looks at me and gets the atheist agnostics back. You damn straight up want to fight for the Lord. Any Christian is right
for the Lord.
What am I supposed to do?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's right.
My best friend Joey's sitting here going, he's proclaiming the joys and the goodnesses of agnosticism. I can't go with that. I'm trying to save my friend from annihilation in hell.
Right, but
you got his back. How do you think that makes me feel?
I was defending him on the basis of how you were talking about him. You were attacking
him. Leave Jesus.
Well, here's what I think it was. This. So, okay, I can put it all together now. Sorry, we had to spend so long to figure out how the story is. Here's what it is. I got a whole grip on what exactly the situation was. Toby was watching Mark Driscoll videos that upset him to his core, to where he was just queasy and angry. Right. Okay. So then what's going on in Toby's brain at that point is, I feel so awful because I feel awful and feel of anger with stuff that is God and Christianity and that stuff. Right. So once he goes into that space, he's feeling like, obviously awkward and weird, because like this whole thing that means everything to me, but it's falling apart and it's so weird, and all those mixed feelings about being mad at Christianity itself, which seems like a wrong thing. Then Andy spouts something about being agnostic or whatever. So Toby swings way back the other way and says, no, I am, you know, gets actually on the God side of it. So he finds an avenue that is, you know, not just negative against God and Christianity, but it's, in fact, he could set his sights on it. Like the Andy thing calibrated him back to swinging the other way. And then you started defending Andy and his point, not his points of view, but just the way that Toby was attacking him, which he was attacking Andy being an atheist because of Mark Driscoll being a fake Christian. And then you got involved, and then he's even more comfortable with you than Andy. So then you could handle the full force at that point. His snowball was already rolling down the hill. And so you took the full force of it ultimately. That's what happened.
Also, I would say this. This is seriously two very important people in my life. So like I am acting in a way because maybe I'm acting ugly. Maybe I'm acting not the right way, for sure. Like Andy Nichols, for sure, is one of my all-time great friends. Like he really is. So part of that, I think Matt's right. I'm swinging back, like going, no, Andy, you can't be this. I know you. Like, for sure, like when you first told me about depression, I was like, no, I know you. We're super close. This is like something you are hiding from me, or this is a different you. Like, I could not mentally understand it. So when somebody says something like that that's so left field that I feel super close to, I'm going to war against it immediately, for sure. So, I mean, it's my flesh. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Toby can't handle it. Something fundamental about a person, he didn't know it or see it coming or something.
I mean, why couldn't the Lord just give me the body that only cheats on his wife? Why do I have to be like, I struggle with... Yeah. Saying things.
That sucks. That's because he knows some people so well. And then if he feels like there's something that he didn't know, it's a big deal. So
nobody is on the bandwagon of please honor Toby's privacy when it comes to his anger.
No, there's no defense for it at all. But don't surprise Toby with stuff he didn't. Oh, Toby, I didn't even tell you. I'm gay. Anyway, can we do some news or something?
No, you're not. Yeah, kick the music.
in a world where all you do is, all you think you're doing is loving and holding people accountable, and they look you in the eye and tell you, you're full of shit, man. I'm here to say I'm not full of shit, because I bring the truth, and always the truth. This is Toby Morrell, and this is the damn news.
I got some good stuff here, I think, today. I thought this was really funny. So this comes from Distractify. This charity bookstore is begging people to stop donating their copies of 50 Shades of Grey. It seems like there's no end to the pain 50 Shades of Grey can inflict, intentional or otherwise. First, there was the dismal trilogy, followed shortly thereafter by the abomination of a movie. And now the number of people attempting to get rid of their 50 Shades books is putting significant strain on the charity bookshop. Goldstone Books, an Oxfam charity bookshop in Swansea, South Wales, has officially put down their foot down when it comes to the E.L. James bestseller. Due to the ridiculously high numbers of donations, the shop will no longer accept any 50 Shades of Grey. We appreciate all the donations, but less 50 Shades and more 60s and 70s vinyl would be good. Basically, they've been getting a ton. It's hilarious. The picture that they show is like, I mean, it must be 1,000 or 2,000 of them. I mean, it's unbelievable.
What's funny is who's actually going to buy that copy?
Well, that's why they don't want it.
People that want to buy it are the ones that already read it. Yeah.
Right. And so what do you do with it? Which is really interesting. Like, that is just a book that captivated everybody, I guess, because the sexual content and stuff like that. But now, it literally, that person that wrote the book, it could be just total destruction and litter in a sense. Like, it just totally, I mean, how many trees, how much stuff went into that? Because somebody wrote something, everybody got excited about it. Now it's gone, and it's just going to go into a landfill.
Well, the easy answer on this is an obvious one. First of all, it was probably overdone, overhyped trend. Most people said it wasn't a good book, really, anyway, but it was just the thing. It got marketed real well and all that stuff. But the thing about it is that particular book is the kind where most people like to display their books. Don't you have all your theological books up on display? Like, I read Systematic this, I read John Piper this, I read this, and actually I've been dabbling in these, 50 Shades of Grey. And then I read, you know, so people don't, that's not one you put up on your shelf. So it's in your house, your kids are going to see it, when your neighbors come over, it's on, you know, whatever it is. So that's not one that you keep. Right? It's like deleting your internet history in your actual library is what that is. That's why so many people are not only were there a ton of them, but a lot of people turn them in rather quickly. Get that one out. Leave the one about mid-century art. Leave that one. I'm not going to turn that one in. It makes me look smart.
Embarrassed about it from a morality standpoint, because I've seen a lot of Twilights and Harry Potters on people's shelves.
Yeah, but you know, just the possible judgment, just like looking at porn or not even.
Right.
I mean, I'm not even claiming this exactly porn or anything like that. But I mean, you don't take back the one that says that the, you know, music history from the 1800s or mid-century art, like, that make you look smart or good. Those you don't turn them back in.
Right. Yeah, and it's just a novelty. Like, you probably just bought it just for the novelty of it, not for any kind of literary, reasons or whatever. All right, this comes from this next story. Roving reporter Thomas Globig, and this is from Inverse.com, I believe. By 2050, robots are going to be everywhere, says futurologist Ian Pearson. Now, futurologist, is that a job?
I suppose you can do that. Well, I think I often hear futurist. I don't know if there's a difference in futurist and futurologist. Futurologist sounds like somebody that's doing weather in the future to me, but hey.
Yeah, you're right.
I would just go with futurist.
I mean, this is just so.
Joey, can you look up that word futurologist and futurist and see if there's a difference?
Yeah. Ian Pearson, a consultant at UK company Futurizen, who tellingly. Also goes by the time at Time Guide on Twitter. They'll be our robots will be our co-workers, our domestic servants, and according to Pearson's new report, commissioned by sex toy company Bondera, our robot friends with benefits.
Matt, there's no difference.
They're both words, though.
Yeah, futurists or futurologists are scientists and social scientists whose specialty is futurology, or the attempt to systematically explore predictions and possibilities about the future and how they can emerge from the present and so on and so forth.
Well, if they both mean the same thing, futurologist is way dumber sounding to me. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, futurist might sound cooler. Basically, he's saying that right now we have like wax dolls or, you know, rubber dolls that people are having sex with. It'll be it's a small market today, and it'll be a small market, say, 2025. But he says it won't stay so forever. Extrapolating today's expenditure on sex and dating, lumping all sex costs, including hang
handcuffs and tap us together. Women or women who want to objectify men will do so anyway, regardless of the robots. You don't need robots to do that. By way of example, he turned to science fiction, Spielberg's AI gigolos, Star Trek robot romances, and Mass Effect's Joker and EDI love story. Even though science fiction is fiction, it gives you an awful lot of clues. And it goes on. There's a little bit more here, but I seriously, I mean, there is no doubt in my mind, and we've said this before, that why wouldn't people be having sex with robots? They already want to. I mean, you already, people use sex toys no matter what, dildos and vibrators, and then you move along to whatever it would be called, a masturbation device for a guy, whatever. And so why wouldn't you, like, I mean, I can't see, I really believe.
It's only fair. I mean, if you think about it, like you just named sex toys and you said vibrator and dildo. So I'm going to have to just point out that the technology has always been heavy for the women in sex toy history. I mean, it's about time the guys got a little advanced. You know what I mean?
Well,
you know,
imagine this. Imagine if
they've had the power tools all along.
I know.
Imagine we haven't had anything.
Imagine if dudes had access to sex robots in the same way that they have access to porn right now.
Right.
And how, like, imagine just slipping up. I'm going to turn this thing on. And that, you know what I'm saying? Like the three of us at this point in our lives, we're not porn addicts. We're not looking at porn every second, but we've probably slipped up in the last month. Imagine slipping up with a sex robot.
Oh, how about this?
And how different that would
be. What about this? You just go to this place, over on the other side of town, and it's, you rent one for 1 hour, and it's not, I mean, you're not, are you cheating on your wife? It's just a robot, basically just getting masturbated or whatever it might be. Like, I mean, like the same way.
Yeah, you're definitely like, cheating.
If somebody masturbates to porn, you go, oh, cheating. I mean, it's just a robot. I mean, there's going to be.
See, I don't know if you're cheating on your wife, but you're definitely sinning. I think you're.
Of course. You know, I think you are cheating on your wife. I think that is a thing that you're doing outside of your wife. Same way as looking at porn, I think is cheating on your wife or thinking about old girlfriend, whatever it might be. Right.
But I think the main sin there, because it's going to upset your wife, so you're sinning against your wife, but you're also taking sex and just pissing on it. So you're sinning against God and how you're treating sex. But it's not like you're – I mean, are you emotionally connecting?
Some dudes would say they struggle
with emotionally connecting.
Just look at the movie Her and the movie Ex Machina. Yeah. I mean, look at those two movies, and that's all you need to know. And that's nothing.
But what I'm saying is, look at how it's going to – I mean, honestly, if you think about it morally, if you take Jesus out of it and think morally, what if prostitution ends because a robot can do way more and better than any prostitute could do? So there'll be – at some point, there'll be –
You'd have to say that's an advancement for society as a whole.
Right. You can't kill a robot or hurt a robot in the same way you could. You know, I mean, prostitutes, it's a dangerous thing.
I mean, a robot's really hand job's got to be fast.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, they can do anything. And that's what I'm saying. Like, and then for the guy that feels nerdy, he's like, I'm not going to go try and hit on the girl. I got rejected 2 times. So I'll get this hot robot that looks awesome. We're going to have crazy sex, and then I'm going to put in a – SD card, and she's going to be a perfect drummer, and we're going to jam all night. Then we'll swap that SD card out, put in this SD card, and she knows every Packer player, and she loves sports. This SD card, she's going to fix the best meal, and she's going to, I'm going to put in this card because I'm feeling depressed today. I'm filling this card because I feel happy. I mean, you won't have to deal with another human, which is one of the things that I think people need.
Sure.
And also, at the same time, if you get away from it, you're going to be happy.
Yeah, so what you're suggesting is not just it's not just limited to sex, is what you're suggesting.
Oh.
I mean, if they're better at that. By the way, I'll point out that Pastor Joey just said some remark about a robot's hand job, and he moves his hands really fast in the air when he said and gritted his teeth. I wish everybody could have seen that. But yes, it's more than just sex robots could do better than you as a best friend. Or how about an AI Joey podcaster? It would be a lot less up and down. It might actually go a little bit better. If you had a robot, Joey, that was a little less stubborn, might be okay.
Y'all could just choose when I'm depressed.
We could dial back Toby's anger just a little bit if we had an AI version of him. It wouldn't be so bad.
I'm just saying it's coming. No pun intended, but it is headed here, and we are.
See, I just have a hard time conceptualizing how a dude like that could, and I think you alluded to this, at some point they're going to feel pretty empty. Now, I know even a real marriage isn't like all this fulfillment, but at the end of the day, I know Priscilla and I are working towards something. We're sacrificing. We're trying to get through the arguments. We're enjoying some days together. We're having bad days together. but we're at least two human beings that are trying to figure life out.
Or that same thing you said, minus all the fights, arguments, problems, and bad days.
Right.
Yeah, but, but that's what I'm saying is there's zero meaning to it. I guess people just don't care.
Maybe there is meaning to it. I mean,
okay.
Obviously, we're talking out here secularly. You got to take God out
of it. No, totally.
Maybe what the world would say. But I'm just saying, you won't. I mean, technology might get so good that you don't know.
So that person would say, no, I'm in love with her. Right. Like, we have a great relationship. We don't argue.
It might not actually be love. It might just be better than that. Like, I know that sounds crazy.
They'll have to program in there, just like in the movie The Matrix does a good job of this showing. He says they made a utopia for the people in The Matrix originally, but the people rejected it. It wasn't realistic. They wanted the struggle. They wanted the reality. And you see that in some of the science fiction that the robots and AIs will interact with. We will need them to fight with us and cause conflict because we want it.
I think
like that'll be part of the programming will be they fight with you just like Priscilla does in the way that you like, that you actually trigger and need. You get to make up all that stuff can be and eventually will be programmed in. It won't be perfect all the time.
Yeah.
It'll be just the amount of not perfect that Joey wants is the crazy
all right,
part.
How about this, though? Let me just add this little twist in there. You and your wife are married. Super happy. Everything's going great. You got some kids. You have a robot maid, and she cleans your house, and she does roof repair. She does all these things. And then, it just so happens you realize, wait, her hand can do that motion. Wife's out of town. Kids are gone. Hey, Linda the robot, come in here for a minute. Yes, sir. And then she does something.
You sound like it's going to be like Rosie from the Jetsons.
No. What I'm saying is being a dude and having had to try to do sexual things with a pillow or whatever it might be. And there's things in your house that you've tried to.
A heated watermelon. Toby's done that.
Use sexual stuff with. I'm just saying guys and girls are going to figure out ways to use a household robot or sexual stuff, and then it's only going to get more. I'm just saying, it will be that way. And I think there's part of you, going back to what you're saying, like even though you want that struggle or whatever, there's part of you that is built to have that dominance over something, or it's yours, or whatever it might be. And so, I mean, it's just coming. I actually do think it's going to be negative. I think it's going to change humanity completely. I think it will. I could even see a lot of people trending that way and not getting married anymore. I don't know.
Well, it's already really trending that way. Well, yeah. So yeah, probably so. I agree. But I mean,
all right,
world will be quite different by that time anyway. It's hard to make many predictions, even though the futurologists think they know.
Let's see, it's 2016. We might make it to 2050. We'll probably see the beginning of the robot stuff. I don't think I'll have a robot, and by then I'll just think it's weird and evil and won't, you know, stay away from me like the internet, like my parents with the internet or smartphones or whatever. But anyway, all right, that's the damn news. I thought that was pretty good.
All right. Wow. Yeah, it was good. Well, the damn news has, we've actually had some robot sign up. So first one is 676-7744, 989-78655. And
no,
lastly, no, these are just the numbers.
Serial number.
For the robots.
Serial
yeah.
numbers. Yep.
It's kind of like a social security number. And lastly, 876-757-65675. We want to thank you guys for signing up. Now, did their owners get them to sign up, or
no,
was that
they have AI? I mean, they have general intelligence, so they're autonomous in that regard.
So we really can legitimately thank them.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And please do, because you don't want to piss them off.
You've been listening to the Jabberjaw Podcast Network, jabberjawmedia.com. Shh.